beautiful hymn. Let us pray as we come to God's word now. Our Father, reveal your purpose and reveal your Son and reveal clear understanding of your way as we consider your word now and pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. So we are turning to Hebrews in chapter 6 this morning, and we are turning to the passage that Neil helpfully read to us. And we are drawing ourselves particularly to the phrase about the forerunner at the end of the passage read in Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 20, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. Our Lord Jesus is in heaven as our forerunner. So this morning, as we come together, first of all, to consider God's way and God's word for us, can we be agreed on something as we all come together this morning? That we live presently in uncertain, in turbulent, and in difficult times. I trust we can agree that that is the situation that we are in as a result of the COVID-19 outbreak and all of the things that have happened as a result of that. Issues concerning our health, issues concerning the economy, issues concerning all of the restrictions on our lives. But I want this morning to focus upon how we can know certainty amongst uncertainty, how we can know stability in the midst of turbulence, and how we can know progress in the midst of difficulty. And all this has to do with the fact that there is a forerunner in heaven, one who has gone before and is now bringing us home to where he is. That is the wonderful thing that is true for the Christian. Our Lord Jesus is now in heaven for us, and he is drawing us home. And one day, we will be home with him, with the Lord. I emphasize as we start this theme, and I trust we want to engage with it, everybody, that this is just true for the believer in Jesus Christ, that we can know these things. If you're not a believer this morning, you cannot appreciate, you cannot anticipate knowing the certainty that all is well, or having stability in this life, or making progress through difficulty. You cannot know that assurance. Only the Christian that can know that by being connected to Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian this morning, we urge upon you the believing in Jesus who died for your sins and is now in heaven. He is one who can come and transform everything in your life and in your situation. So we're coming to the book of Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews tells us of a people who've known exactly that. They've known that everything has been changed around. They are a people from a Jewish background, and they have been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are seeking to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they are going through times of uncertainty and times of difficulty, times of turbulence, really. There's a lot of pressure on them to go back to the old Jewish way, to not carry on, to go on to know Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews, therefore, is continually saying to these Christians, go on, go forward, keep going. And that, I trust, fellow Christian, is the message that we need to hear this morning. In all of your situation and my situation, there's a message here for us to keep going, keep on. Not go back, because that was what they were hearing all the time. their previous, their family members, their people in the community say, come back to the Jewish way, come back to the old way. God is telling them to go forward. And the pressure's come on some more because some who are with them have now gone back. They've turned away. And so in Hebrews in chapter 6 and verses 4 through to 6, it says, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. You see, the writer is saying, those ones that have gone back, they've done the wrong thing. They've chosen the wrong way. They've gone from the way of life. And if they go the other way, there's no life for them. So you don't go with them. You keep steadfast. And so you read, as we coming into verse 9, it says, though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. So dear church of the Hebrews, keep going. Dear Feltham Evangelical Church, with difficulties, with people who perhaps have professed Christ and have gone away and are saying, don't continue with it. We've got to go on because this is the right way. We have got to press forward. And so you see how in verse 10, these true believers, they are pressing on in love. They've got work and they've got love. And that they're showing and serving the Christians. And that's what they're doing. They're going the right way. Coming to verses 11 to 12, he's encouraging them to look to the future. And as they look to the future, they are to go on now, steadfast in faith. There is a hope. There is an anticipation of one day being with the Lord. So that they to continue on to the end. And verse 12, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. They are to be full of faith, so they will experience the promises of God. And that the idea of the word there, of the inherit the promises, is that right now, they are coming into the possession of the promises of God and the ultimate promise that we will be forever with the Lord. And as that promise comes, they're getting it into their lives now. As it comes into their lives, what happens? They're not sluggish. They're up and living. So we have a promise, brothers and sisters. We have a promise ahead, the big promise. The Lord Jesus, he said this in John and chapter 14. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Promise that we are going to a place prepared for us by our Lord Jesus. We are going to him. And we can get that promise into our lives now. And we will live well. So as we come further on into Hebrews in chapter 6, and we're thinking about the one who is there in heaven for us now, who's the forerunner. We're going to look, first of all, at the verses through from verse 13. And we want to look here, as we're coming into verse 13, about an example to follow. An example to follow. We're going to think about Abraham, who had promises about what the future would be, and as a result of that, he lived steadfastly for the Lord. He believed God's promises, he lived them out, He acted on them. And so he kept going through life. He had certainty amongst uncertainty. He had stability amidst turbulence. And he had progress amidst difficulty. Now, as we come to these verses, which flow primarily from verses verse 13 through to verse 17, there is an argument presented by the writer, which is quite, we might say, compressed, very put down to the barest detail. We want to seek to understand that now about this man, Abraham, who it is an example to follow, how he had promises about what was ahead, and as a result of that, he lived a transformed life. So let's think about Abraham's situation. When he was in Ur of the Chaldees, he received this promise in Genesis in chapter 12. It is recorded. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. The parts to the promise to Abraham, but that's the specific one we want to be aware of this morning. There was a promise that a great nation would come from him, which means there would be lots of people who would come from him. That promise is restated in Genesis in chapter 15 and verses 4 to 5. Then in chapter Genesis in chapter 17 and verse 2, a promise that lots would be descended from him. That was an anticipation of something in the future. And as a result of that, he got on and lived his life committed to the Lord. He was a man, as we read in verse 15. Verse 15, and thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. He kept on living for the Lord, kept on going for the Lord. And he received something of this promise. He kept going for a long period, 25 years actually, from leaving Ur of the Chaldees. He'd got no descent according to God's ordained purpose. 25 years he waited, continually seeking to live for the Lord by faith. Not perfectly, he had his blemishes, like us, but patiently he kept going. And finally, he saw Isaac born, the child that could be the start of this. But it was only, we might say, partially. And then he received Isaac again in Genesis in chapter 22, when he, in a sense, as it says in Genesis, in Hebrews chapter 11, which we thought about last Wednesday, he received Isaac back as if by resurrection when he was willing to offer him up. So he'd received him in birth and he'd received him back in something like resurrection. And he'd seen God keep his promise that this one, there would be one who would be the one who would bring in a generation to come. And finally, and that is what is stated in verse 13, there is the promise is finally made. The promise is finally made in Hebrews and chapter 22. And it is the same promise we read of it for when God, I'm reading from verse 13 of Hebrews and chapter 6, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself. The final seal, final promise. You see, Abraham, in a sense, he lived in the light of that promise until now, and here it is given finally, and it's given with an oath. God swore to it. And then we see in verse 16, for people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. Swore an oath. Now, Did Abraham need an oath? Did Abraham need an oath? No, because he'd gone with the promise all the way until now. He'd lived his life in the light of the promise. So why was the promise given? The promise was given so that it would be a total guarantee for the people who would see it later. It says there, the heirs of the promise, those people afterwards was, no, there is a God who keeps his word. And he sealed it by his oath. Now let's think about this. I think I just want to stop just to get a little an understanding there. And if you ask me where I was born. Philip, where were you born? And I say, I was born in Knutsford in Cheshire. And you say to me, well, how do I know that's true? And if I said, I swear by the Queen that it is true, then you've got the Queen involved. There's two people involved, isn't there? There's me and the Queen. Okay, you could, as it were, go to the Queen to seal the deal that I was saying what was true. But if I say, I swear by Philip Venables that what I say is true, I swear by Philip Venables, how many people are you dealing with then? You're only dealing with one person, aren't you? You've only got me. I've said it, and I've taken an oath on it, you see? You've only got me to deal with, so the oath isn't any bigger than my promise, my statement. You see here, you see, how many people are involved in swearing the oath? How many people are involved in the promise and swearing the oath? There's only one person involved, and in that sense, the oath is not necessary, but the oath is only there to make a declaration to everybody so everybody knows that it is true. But essentially, it's not necessary because God is true to his word. And Abraham knew that. And we should know that. And we should live in the light of it like Abraham did. And we should live in the light of the promise of God concerning the future, which is for us. It's not concerning descendants. It's concerning the hope that is ahead. The certainty of being with the Lord. It is a promise that is given to us. You see, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, and he ventured out and he lived for God because he was looking forward. So Hebrew Christians, don't go back. You are following in the line of the original example of one who heard a promise that was ahead and went ahead. The promise is secure. God promises something. There's a sense in which his oath is on it. And we can be sure that everything is established. So Abraham was an example. He's an example for us to follow. He was an example for the Hebrew Christians to follow. A man whose life was characterized by steadfast continuance for God, waiting patiently for God to fulfill his purpose, and it colored his whole life. And so it should be for us. Abraham was an example. It's good to have examples, isn't it? It's good to have examples of those who have taken God as his word and lived their lives in the light of that. They've taken God at his word and said, that's what God says. I will live to please him. It's good to have examples. Good to see examples. Are you an example in the church of somebody who is taking God at his word? Perhaps you're struggling in your relationship. And perhaps there are difficulties and perhaps your marriage is a struggle, but you know that God has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you know the marriage commitment stands as a permanent bond. And you say, I will lay hold of that promise and I will seek to know his sufficiency in this time. You go forward in the light of his word. It's a general promise. Perhaps some of you are struggling with regard to the uncertainties of life, and perhaps you're under pressure to compromise in the way of God. Perhaps it's to tell lies. Perhaps it's to deceive people. And you know that it says in 1 Samuel in chapter 3, those who honor me, I will honor. And you're taking that promise and say, I will live with that promise. It will color my life. And I will not deny my Lord, even though I lose my job, even though I am driven out from circumstances, from situations by other people. You see, that's the general situation. Specifically, examples of those who've lived for eternity, and it's colored their whole life. I think of our sister Margaret Lee, who's now with the Lord, and how it changed. She was always anticipating being with the Lord, and how we should be seeing these examples, like Abraham's an example. We should see these examples and be transformed. And so we come then to think, having seen an example to be followed, let's now come to be a reality to be experienced, a reality to be experienced. The promise ahead for us is of being with the Lord. That is secured by our forerunner. So let us come into verse 18. So that by two unchangeable things, the promise and the oath, and when there is a promise given by God, it has, as always, has the oath of God upon it, in which it is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Who's the hope? Jesus Christ is the hope. Where is he? In heaven. He's our forerunner. What have we done? We have fled for refuge. Fellow Christians, we realized our desperate state. Unlike those people in the Old Testament, when they had committed murder unintentionally, not meaning to do it, they would flee to a city of refuge where nobody could touch them and everything was safe and secure. So we have fled to Christ, who is our city of refuge. We fled from the wrath to come by trusting him, to know him as our Lord and Savior. We're there. And now we're there, fellow Christians, in that place of protection. We steadfastly, we go on through the difficulties of life, knowing the hope ahead, knowing Jesus Christ is ahead. Christians, we're living for eternity. We are living for a better day. Richard Baxter, the Puritan of old, he said about our two eyes. How many eyes have we got? Two eyes. He said, one eye should always be on eternity and one eye should always be on time. And then, dare I suggest, we'll be living well. We take that advice. So here we are, these people who fled for protection, they are to go on steadfastly, to go have strong encouragement, to hold fast to the hope. Don't go back. Look forward. So many people are just looking forward to what? They're looking forward to the passing of the coronavirus, aren't they? That's what they're looking forward to. And when it's all over, they'll get back to their normal lives. And what will normal life be? Who knows what it will be? For Christians, our hope is not in what might be and what might not be. Our hope is in certainty. It's in Jesus Christ. We can know the certainty of things that are eternal because our Lord Jesus is there. He's ours. So let's lay hold of our hope. Let's go on. And then we'll think secondly, as we think about the one who has gone ahead, we'll think about the anchor. Now, what is an anchor? Children, what does an anchor do? An anchor is used by boats, isn't it? An anchor is thrown down to the bottom of the sea so that it gets hold of the bottom of the sea. And in the turbulence of life, the turbulence of that ship, it can be, when the waves are coming, it can be secure, it can be immovable, it can be kept watertight. Well, so it is. For us, we have an anchor. Going into verse 19, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place. We have our hope, Jesus Christ, and as it were, he's our anchor. Amidst all the turbulence of life, we can know stability. Like a boat with all of the turbulence of the sea can know stability. When we have financial troubles, when we have just emotional difficulties, that's our struggle this morning. When we have struggles with our friends, when marriage isn't going so well, whatever it is amidst the issues of life, we have an anchor. We can know that we're not living amidst the circumstances of life for the circumstances of life. We are living amidst the circumstances of life for the Lord of life who is in heaven for us. And so we, as it were, attach the rope to the anchor of our souls, Jesus Christ, and we can know stability. We can know when everything around us is wavering, we can stabilize. Perhaps we've just got to take stock again and cast our minds to Jesus Christ. Remember he died at Calvary. Remember he's risen. Remember he's in heaven for us right now. And so we want to have these things as the reality of our experience, not theory concerning our hope ahead, not theory concerning our anchor. And thirdly, we come to the fact that there is one who secures our acceptance. No doubt about our acceptance. Carrying on at the end of verse 19, it says, he enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. And the image here is from the Old Testament. It should be very, very real for these Hebrew Christians, and particularly Leviticus chapter 16 and the Day of Atonement, when the high priest went behind the curtain of the tabernacle, which divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, the special place which revealed the presence of God. And he just went in once a year, and on the basis of blood being sprinkled on the atonement cover of the mercy seat, he would know that sins are covered for the people. And he would walk out again, and they would have to be looking forward to next year, to him going in again, and then he would come out again to the people. He'd always just go in once a year and then he'd come out. And what's the difference for us, fellow Christians? It is he's gone in once for all. Our hope, our Lord Jesus, has gone in once for all. He has made a full and final salvation. His blood does not have to be shed time and time again. He has gone in and he is not coming out. He is there for us, and he is taking us there. He's taking us into his presence. And so we continue into verse 20, that he is our forerunner. And all of these images mixed together to encourage us to go forward, to know that with this future, with this forerunner, we can be stirred to live. So the forerunner is the one who's gone ahead. The idea is from army operations, and there would be a group that would go ahead to sort out, to do reconnoiter, as they would call it, to find out what was ahead so that the army could come behind. They were leading the way so the army could come behind. Or another image, I believe, is that of a towboat which goes into the harbor in order to bring the vessel into the harbor, tows the vessel into the harbor. And Jesus Christ is our forerunner. He is, as it were, making the way so that we follow in. He is the towboat that is towing us into glory. We are right now in that position. This isn't, as it were, a connection that's going to be made in the future. Right now, this is true. He is our forerunner. and he's there on our behalf. And as we think about all these images come together, then we come to this final statement about our priest being after the order of Melchizedek. Well, what does that mean? It means he's not like the priests that were a part of that Day of Atonement ritual who came and went and came and went. We have a priest who is permanent. We have one who does not change, established forever. Our great high priest is of the order of Melchizedek. That's for another study. And that is a great study in itself. But you see, we have a hope. We have one in heaven for us now, right now. And as a result of that, we can know. We know the Lord of the universe who's there in heaven now. We have one there who is caring for us because he's a priest, and that's what priests do. They take an interest in the people. So all these things, and we're thinking about the realities of life. We're thinking about how we are to live. We can realize we can be certain amidst uncertainty because Jesus is in heaven. And whatever befalls us in the turbulences of life, it is well. It is well with our souls. And we can know stability amidst the turbulences of life because we have the anchor who is Jesus Christ. And we can know progress amidst the difficulties of life because we're a people who look ahead. We're looking ahead. Brothers and sisters, I just encourage us this morning to gather up our lives, as it were. Like Abraham gathered up everything and he left Ur of the Chaldees on the basis of one thing and one thing alone, the word of God and the promise of God. And he says, I'm going.
Yes.
They went with him. Might it be that your life could be the life, children, as you're listening this morning, might it be your life that will be a life that influences many others to go up and continue for the Lord? May we all rise up in the circumstances of our life with all of our troubles, with all of our uncertainties, with all of our turbulences, with all of our difficulties, to know we are a part of a people who have a forerunner in heaven who right now is drawing us home to glory. So that is the forerunner, our Lord Jesus Christ. Like Abraham, let us be a people who focus upon the promise of God about the future, and let us go on strong in faith because our Lord Jesus is our forerunner for us now. I encourage us amidst all the issues of life this week, when you're struggling, to remember, Jesus has won the place for me in heaven. I'm going to be where he has promised I should be. All is well. I must continue and not go back. Bless you. Continue strong for the Lord this week. Let's sing.